just what an amazing opportunity it is, and the magnitude of the need in our society for this kind of work. And so let me just leap right in by saying there's two things that we know to be true about the extent to which there is a need in this society, and two things about solving that need. The need is the loss of self-reliance in this culture. We have based our national identity on the idea that citizens of the United States are self-reliant, and obviously that's pretty much a joke regarding particularly health care, where empowerment and self-reliance and self-determination is almost completely absent. And the second thing is that the money that's involved with this is devastating. Our society has basically gone broke in large part because of the healthcare system. We think it's because of the wars that we are spending our time on in the Middle East. However, those wars only cost $2 trillion over a period of about 10 years. Healthcare in the United States, or what we call healthcare in the United States, actually costs $3 trillion every year. I know, it's embarrassing. And because of the fact that 70% or more, 80 to 85% of all disease is preventable, we can actually, as a society, we could actually be saving about $2 trillion. In other words, of the $3 trillion, probably about two plus trillion is being wasted treating diseases that are widely known to be preventable. And so the citizens of this nation could actually save this society $2 trillion a year, $2 trillion plus, and that would be in 1 year. A last little note on that is that the Congress just determined that they were going to pay down $2 trillion worth of the national debt in 10 years. Well, same story. We waste $2 trillion treating preventable diseases every year. So we could actually, as a nation, we could pay down $2 trillion a year, not 10 years, in 1 year. So anyway, the pressures in the system regarding the money and the opportunity and the loss of self-reliance is huge. And then one other really, really powerful and compelling thing about this is that just collecting my thoughts here is that Qigong and Tai Chi are healthcare, but they're also mind-body-spirit or body-mind-spirit cultivation, all in one package. So you've got exercise, meditation happening at the same time. And this is not only just a unique fluke or coincidence developed by people in an archaic culture. The Chinese figured this out over thousands of years, and to be able to exercise and meditate simultaneously, and in fact, let's even go one step further, to exercise, meditate, and pray, whatever prayer is, all at the same time. That is the ultimate in multitasking. And so the arguments for how much fun it is and how important it is to be a teacher of Qigong and Tai Chi is just, well, it's amazing. And so then going on to a few other points that we want to discuss about this, and then we'll take a few questions. And by the way, we may not have a big, long question and answer session this evening for a number of reasons, one of which is that I'm supposed to go someplace else. So we'll answer one or several questions, and then we may have an invitation from Josie to take those questions offline, or let's just see how that goes. So let's talk a little bit about what all teachers have in common, and that is means every kind of teacher teaching every kind of thing to every kind of human being. and that is that teachers have the incredible opportunity to be in a relationship with persons who are, I want to get the right word here, inclined to enhance their potential. Inclined to enhance their potential. And so the whole concept of being a teacher, whether it's a kindergarten teacher, a high school teacher, a college teacher, a yoga teacher, a Qigong and Tai Chi teacher, so all of those kinds of teachers have this thing in common, which is to be in the presence of people who are aspiring to enhance themselves. Now, granted, if you're in the sixth grade and you're in geometry class and you don't even know why geometry exists, maybe the aspiration for learning is not there. But I promise you that in almost every case, people who are in Qigong and Tai Chi class are there because they are hungry for knowledge and inspiration and empowerment. And it is so inspiring and so profound to be in the presence of people like that. And I can give testimony to it because I've been teaching Qigong and Tai Chi since the 70s. And I've never had the experience that an individual in a class like that would show signs of not being amazed and in a kind of awe, really, about what's going on. It's very compelling and very rewarding. So here's an interesting one, and it is the question of how the way we learn Qigong and Tai Chi reveals how we might teach Qigong and Tai Chi. And having been to China many times and having studied Chinese medicine for a long time and really beat my brain up learning all those details, I can tell you that most of the people that I have ever learned Qigong and Tai Chi from act a lot like the people that they learned Qigong and Tai Chi from. And because of the fact that Qigong and Tai Chi emerged from a society that actually, until very recently, was in what we call a feudal state. Feudal meaning where the emperor lives up in a big house up on the hill and where everybody else lives in little shacks and basically is a laborer. And China is a violent society. So this is a violent feudal society where teachers have learned to be teachers from their teachers. And when a teacher has been taught to teach from the perspective of domination or utilizing fear as a driver, and fear can be, you know, wait a minute, I'm afraid because I don't know enough. I'm feeling nervous because I'm in a situation where I don't feel I can actually learn as much as this person claims that they have to teach. And it's just a really interesting experience. And so what we've been doing here at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, which is, by the way, in full accord with the most profound principles of Chinese philosophy, is to support the process of allowing every individual to be unique and in their own way, and to learn to teach others by having the experience of being allowed to learn in their natural way. This is not typical in China, except for in the context of Taoism and Buddhism, which are very, very highly refined personal relationships with the transcendental nature of life. And here in the Western world, we actually have a contact with that through the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and all of that, which basically is based on this concept of inalienable rights, a phrase probably invented by Thomas Jefferson. And when a person learns in a context where they are exercising their inalienable right to learn in a way that is non-stressful and inspiring to them, it's very different than learning in a context where the rigor of the teaching is around the subject of getting people to do everything a certain way and chastising them if they're not comfortable learning that way. And not every teacher does teach that way, but many of the Qigong teachers, Qigong and Tai Chi teachers do. And it's kind of sad, actually. And we're really committed to creating a learning environment for the people that we're training as teachers, as well as teaching them to create a learning environment that is deep and profound and holistic and stress-free. And we can talk more about that if you have questions. By the way, start loading your questions into Josie's question box. And we'll stop in a few minutes and answer a question, perhaps, and then we'll go on, and then we'll answer a couple of more questions as we conclude. So if you have any questions about anything that I've said so far or anything that we haven't said at all, and I'll tell you if you ask a question about something we're going to talk about anyway. And get a couple of questions into Josie so we can take a little break from my extemporating here so that we can go to something, a specific concern that you have. So then there's an interesting challenge that people who are inclined to the idea of being a teacher have, and that is that they have a sense of discomfort around, will I know enough and will I be able to respond to challenging situations? And the answer is, if the world that you live in Qigong and Tai Chi, is based on learning mountains and mountains and mountains of detail, then you're going to have challenges because of the fact that you'll have to remember all those details and then expect everybody else to remember all those details. However, if you have the revelation that we've been having over a period of 30-plus years about the nature of learning itself and the power of Qigong and Tai Chi, it is just not about mountains and mountains of minutia. It is about an experience of getting into a state. And getting into that state through either Qigong or Tai Chi is, in fact, quite easy. And so one of the things that may happen is that you may be challenging yourself with the idea that you couldn't be enough of an expert to teach a Qigong and Tai Chi class, and that's just not true. Now, a second challenge is that you might feel like if you don't know mountains and mountains of details and esoteria and minutia, that you will be perceived by other people who teach Qigong and Tai Chi as an outlier or an invader or someone who doesn't have a right to be in the mix. And that is also not true, because check this out. This is something that we've had a lot of experience with. If a person says, you know, who gave you the right to teach Qigong and Tai Chi? It doesn't really look like you know that much. First of all, that is a judgment on the part of a person who may or may not know that much. Plus, it's a bias. In other words, it's a bias to the fact that whatever they do know is more important than what you know. And what I'm here to say, as an expert at this and someone who's been involved in this for years, is that most people don't want to learn that much. Most people want to learn a little bit. They've got a headache. They're stressed out. Their lives are not working. Their digestion's not working. They don't need to understand the complexity of the five elements or the 12 channel theory or the concept of the three treasures or any of that. Most people just want to know how to quiet their mind. And so the challenge that you could be as a possible future teacher presenting to yourself about the fact that you might be caught by someone whose perception is that they know more than you do, I'm telling you that that person probably knows too much. Now, you're allowed to know that much, but you may not want to set it up so that people need to learn that much, because most people only want to learn a little. They want to learn something about how to live a better life. And we get emails all day, every day, from teachers who go out there and they say, oh my gosh, it was so easy to get these people to love Qigong and Tai Chi. And so then you might think, well, what if I have a challenge, something that comes up that I don't understand? Maybe somebody asked me, like, I just got diagnosed as cancer, you know, you're the Qigong teacher, what should I do? It is really not that complex to help that person without acting like a doctor or being inappropriate. There are ways to be able to respond, and that's what this training is about. We train people to be great teachers. We're not training people to be doctors. Now, we have programs that are based on the whole idea of learning more about Chinese medicine, and certainly in level 1, 2, and 3, the discussion of Chinese medicine is always on the table. But when we're training teachers, we're not training doctors. We're training people who go out there and empower others to take care of themselves. And so when somebody asks you a question that you can't answer, whether it's a question about healthcare or medicine or Chinese philosophy, there are all kinds of really reasonable methods for being able to own the authority to be leading the class at the same time as not knowing the answer to every question. And as you find your way into this, you will be amazed. And it's hard to be able to give a feeling about this. Just extemporating, theoretically and philosophically on the phone as we're doing now. So, type your question in about that. Now, I'm going to talk about one more little topic here, and then I'm going to check with Josie about questions, and then we'll go back to some more practical things about training. Signs and signals that you are ready to pursue teaching and mind-body practice. I love this question. And it goes like this. If you are inclined to be a person who is excited about helping others to be more well or to be more inspired or to connect with their spiritual nature or to connect with their capacity for purposefulness and intention in their lives, if that turns you on and you have absolutely no background in Qigong or Tai Chi, or if you have some background in Qigong and Tai Chi, those are the signs. Now, people ask me all the time, is it important for me to have, are there prerequisites, are the things that I need to have studied before I come to this training? Well, yes, there are some suggested and required readings, but there is no requirement around the whole concept of being an expert in this in any way, or even having had any experience in this in any way. So the signs have nothing to do with, do you have special skills? Do you have special insights? Are you gifted in any way, physically or emotionally or energetically? None of that. We've trained teachers and ministers and majors in the military and bank tellers and insurance salespeople and librarians and just all kinds, doctors, nurses, psychologists, social service people, yoga teachers, doctors of oriental medicine, chiropractors, naturopaths. We have trained just about every kind of person. And though some of them do have, shall we say, training, you know, like for instance, we've trained acupuncturists in our course, but the fact that they were trained as an acupuncturist had nothing to do with their success in this course. And so the signs, the signals, are really based on your enthusiasm. It's based on your inclination. It's based on your sense of purpose and intent. It's based on your feeling, and I do mean feeling, about the possibilities for the humans, you know, in this troubled time. You know, how will the humans transition through, you know, the year 2012, whatever that means, or even to get through 2011? How will that happen, and how will we make our way into the new era where energetics and the findings of Albert Einstein in his papers that he wrote over 100 years ago become the basis of our reality, the energetic foundation of reality, and the fact that we can empower every citizen to be functional in the area of understanding energy and cultivating energy. So if that's an inclination, that's the signal. Okay, so let's break from answering the questions that I've been answering and see if there's anything that's come up. Josie, if you don't have questions, just let me know and I'll go right on. Okay, so I'm just thinking that maybe Josie might have stepped out to the bathroom or something like that. So let's go ahead. And Josie, you can break in any time if you're inclined to do so. So then the next question that we have here is, Josie, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about
that. Do we have a question?
Yes,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, please.
Yeah, and I'm just appreciating you for inspiring me, reminding me that we are impacting lives in leading, and when we lead simple practices, and there's a lot of graduates out there leading practice every day and making a difference. So that's just really wonderful to remember that. So we have a nice pile of questions coming in. Thank you so much, everybody, for submitting questions. So, let's see, there's a nice question here coming in about what do you know about insurance companies paying for Qigong classes, especially if there's a diagnosis of stress-related illness? So what do you know about insurance companies paying for Qigong classes, especially if there's a stress-related illness?
Yes. Well, first of all, insurance companies only pay providers of service who are either licensed medical practitioners or who are working as contractors or employees, approved contractors and employees of people with medical licenses. And those licenses, by the way, could include social service, and they could include psychotherapy, as well as medical doctors and chiropractors and acupuncturists and so forth. Now, as a doctor of Oriental medicine, I know that there are diagnoses in the codes that are attributed to stress or stress originating or stress aggravating type situations. So I really would be remiss if I said that that's something that is easy to access, that third-party payment. If you're going to try to do it directly, I'm assuming that the person who's asking actually has a medical degree of some sort. And if you do have a medical license of some sort, and if you do, then under the auspices of your license, with the power that you have or that you have to receive a diagnosis from a referring physician, you could be in alignment or in accord with all of the necessary factors, and there are many, that would release a payment from an insurance company for Qigong. There is a lot of naive hopefulness in the world around these things, and as an acupuncturist, I can say that there were periods of time where insurance companies were reimbursing for acupuncture to a licensed acupuncturist. However, more often, what would happen is that that program would be in place for a while and then it would discontinue. So I'm pretty sure that we are in a very transitional stage here. Now, here's one important thing. In certain kinds of medical facilities, let's say an integrative medicine program at a large university or at a hospital, a Qigong practitioner, a Qigong teacher, could be hired, and it's possible that the clinic or the hospital would be receiving payment for that person under whatever diagnosis that they have, but it would not typically be a Qigong teacher doing the billing in any way. So it kind of matters how, and I've done a lot of consulting around the whole structuring of integrative medicine clinics, and one of the most important things, and I'll just put this out there in case it would be useful information, is that the social work and occupational therapy, social work and occupational therapy have really good codes for allowing for Qigong to be paid, because in occupational therapy, as an example, there's a diagnosis that has to do with the lack of the ability to manage daily skills. And one really important skill of daily living or activity of daily living is the ability to reduce stress and avoid depression and anxiety. And so a case can be made in occupational therapy for prescribing something like Qigong or Tai Chi as a skill, a health-sustaining skill, and there are codes for that. So I'll leave it there for now. Josie, go ahead.
Yeah, great. Okay, so it's nice to know that society is changing, and that's a possibility for those codes and insurance to kind of come together. That's really great. Okay,
yep.
So how about another question about practice? These are always beautiful here. Dr. Dianca, can I practice Qigong every other day consistently and still achieve benefits, or is this counterproductive? I can repeat the question.
No, I've got it. Any practice on any day for any amount of time is never a problem. Now, there are teachers, and we talked about it earlier, you know, depending on who you learn from, you can be chastised in many ways to believe that you're underperforming and therefore be scared into practicing more. But, you know, scaring people into doing a mind-body practice or a mind-body-spirit practice, it just seems immoral to me. So the first answer is that any practice, any time, for any length of time, or any number of days, is in one way or another a benefit to an individual. Now, in terms of being able to push the volume or the quotient of benefit over certain thresholds. In other words, if a person is intent on reducing stress and anxiety in their life, and they only practice Qigong for 5 minutes every 4 to 5 days, you know, there's just no way that that's going to penetrate or have the reach the magnitude of influence that the person is desiring. However, if a person is already fairly cultivated, and the person who's asking could be, I mean, you could be someone who's already been meditating for your, you know, since you were a teenager, and you might be on a really beautiful anti-inflammatory diet, and you may have studied the nature of nature through the some philosophical framework, and so you may be a very highly cultivated person already. Therefore, practicing on an irregular basis Qigong is fine, because that kind of a person is already practicing in their own way from moment to moment throughout the day. Now, what if a person has never practiced Qigong before, has been diagnosed as being at risk for Parkinson's disease, and they want to avoid actually having Parkinson's disease for as long as they possibly can in their whole life? Well, now the threshold for how to get that benefit is higher, because the person probably has not been cultivating, and now they have a scary diagnosis, and basically they're wanting to practice, they're under duress, and they're wanting to practice to save themselves. Well, the first thing is that they have to practice enough to understand that you don't save yourself by becoming hysterical. You can only save yourself by relaxing. And so how much practice does it take on how many days does it to reach the threshold where the practitioner, the person who's doing the practice, is actually creating the state of sustainable restfulness? Because in that state of sustainable restfulness, the body goes spontaneously into making medicine. And in the process of spontaneously making medicine, the healing or even the health risk reduction is enhanced. So I hope that makes sense. You know, we say to a person, if you don't have 10 minutes a day, then practice for 10 seconds. That's one deep breath. If you don't do it for 10 seconds every day, then do it for 10 seconds every other day. But every time a person has an experience of the benefit of the practice, even for 10 seconds, if you take one deep breath and let it out very slowly through your nose, do it right now, then already you can start feeling the change within the body. And then one can start to think, oh, I can change my own internal environment. Maybe I should do this for a little longer. Because when I do it for 10 seconds, I actually remind myself that it's possible. And then I take two deep breaths, and so now I'm up to 20 seconds or 30 seconds. And then I think, well, I think I could benefit if I did this for 10 minutes. And so then going for 10 minutes. And it really is a bad idea to say, you know, a person should, because the word should is just problematic in the first place. The word should doesn't belong there. So to do whatever we can to move ourselves into the cultivated life, that's what we're up to here. And so it doesn't make sense to make a blanket statement that everybody should practice a certain amount of time every day. What everybody should do, if we're going to use the word should at all, is to bring themselves into a relationship with Qigong and Tai Chi in an enthusiastic and sincere sort of way, and over time arrive at an awareness of how powerful this is, so that instead of saying, well, how little can I do and get a benefit, what a cultivated person says is, I know when I've done enough. And when you talk to people who are really cultivated in Qigong and Tai Chi, and they miss their practice, what they'll tell you is, it's not like they're saying, how little can I do? What they're saying is, I am aware that I am not doing this as consistently as I know I could be doing it, and therefore I intend and will bring all of my intent to bear on doing it at the level it is efficient and sufficient for me. So just those are all just thoughts from one person. I have a certain amount of background, but don't get going on the idea that, you know, this is the truth or anything like that, because it's just my thought after many years of practice myself and teaching others. Back to you, Josie.
Yeah, okay. One more question that I think we can open it up to people on the phone, maybe. Okay, one more question from our webcast listeners, and thank you so much for tuning in on the web. So this is a question about creating a stress-free environment. All right, so please expound on how to create a stress-free environment. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I think the answer to that is it's impossible, because environments don't create stress. People perceive in such a way that they perceive stress. And so I think what you're saying is, how can I create an environment first within my home and then maybe within myself that is stress-free? And so creating a stress-free environment in your home means to find a place that you can set aside, even if it's a corner of a room somewhere, and clean it up. And no matter what else is complex and chaotic in your life, clean up some little corner of your life and give yourself a place to be and use that place and promise yourself that when you're in that place that you won't create stress in yourself. Stress is basically a state of the nervous system. It's when the sympathetic nervous system is chronically overexpressive. And just shifting your environment won't do it. You have to change yourself. So now let's talk about, once you've created an environment in your home or somewhere near your home, like in the park or whatever, where you go to do your practice, you still have to get a hold of yourself and create a stress-free internal environment. And the only way to create a stress-free internal environment is to understand how to stop chronic aggravation of the sympathetic nervous system. And of course, that is done by doing Qigong. That is how you do Qigong. So the answer to how do I create a stress-free environment is to do Qigong. First, create a place in your house to do Qigong, whether it's sitting still meditation Qigong or moving Qigong. And then when you get into that place, whether it's in your house or in a park or in your yard or wherever, then be a sincere and forthright practitioner. Do not go to your Qigong spot and worry. Go to your Qigong spot and commit to yourself that you will not worry. Like that. Now, Josie, before we go to, because I didn't really answer those other questions that you had laid out earlier, I'm going to just 1, 2, 3, 4 answer these questions that were posted on the web that we would be responding to, just to be sure that the callers get the answers to those questions. And I'll do them briefly, and then if there are more questions about these things, we can take them as questions. And do keep in mind that we'll probably try to wrap up in an hour, just because I need to be on to another thing. And so, what are the trainings like? And this is a beautiful question, because I have done now dozens and dozens of these level 1, level 2, level 3. And what they are like is like going to social heaven, meaning that who doesn't love to be in a room full of people of like mind? Who doesn't love to be in a room full of people of like mind? And so it's a kind of bliss, actually, to be at these trainings. And certainly we have to get on an airplane. That's a little bit of a rigor. And then we have to travel and pack and do all that stuff. And we have to do with weather. Wherever you go, you know, there's going to be weather. Environments, people, you know, not everybody that we meet is a perfect match to our character. And so, but these are all challenges. All of these challenges are opportunities for cultivation and understanding about the importance of relaxing no matter where you are in the midst of complexity. Now, in a practical sense, what are these trainings like is that in the first level, we focus on Qigong, and it is a seven-day intensive training experience where we're doing Qigong and talking about Qigong and investigating Qigong and Qi and Chinese medicine and Chinese philosophy all day, every day. And it's profound. And then in level two, we do the same thing with Tai Chi. And we teach Tai Chi. We teach you to be a Tai Chi teacher in a very special way, which is sort of like the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi special sauce. There are many special qualities of the Institute of Integral based on the whole concept of the integral view. However, in Tai Chi, we have what is called the Integral Tai Chi Teaching Method, which is patentable, but has not been patented, and is just profound. And it transforms Tai Chi from something that can be stressful into something that is always fun for the people that you will be training, teaching, for your students. And then in level three, of course, we go to alchemy, which is the richest, most profound aspect of Taoism, Buddhism, Chinese medicine, Confucian insight, and the most recent findings of the quantum science. It's just amazing, and I won't go into it now, but we talk about level three a lot in level one, so we can talk more about it there. Now, who comes to these trainings? I love that question because the answer is amazing, and we talked about it earlier. Teachers, ministers, people from the military, people from healthcare and medicine, social service, education, we already mentioned education, but I mean kindergarten, first grade, high school, college, all the way through, all of that. And fitness, people in yoga and fitness and spa and psychotherapists and social workers and just anybody, former, some of our favorite of our trainees, our graduates, are insurance people and former, we've got a former, basically, I think, I don't know what the level of wealth is, but we have a former very, very, very successful oil baron in this training. We have people from businesses, all kinds of businesses. It's pretty darn amazing. And just keeping on going here, how training in teaching and leading mind-body practice can add to your skill set as a professional in any field. Well, the discipline of learning to be a teacher, if you're not a teacher already, will basically transform you into someone who's an expert in human nature. And any time you are an expert in human nature, no matter what field you're in, you have a leg up in terms of your skills of understanding people. Now, in Chinese medicine, we learn how to diagnose a person by looking at them. And after you practice Qigong for a while and then teach people and then start noticing people, you will begin to take on the skill of being able to recognize. Some people will say you're psychic because it seems like you know something about them that they don't know. But the truth is, and maybe this is a kind of psychic, I'm not sure. The truth is that you will become able to relax so much within your own being that you can feel another person's emotions and you can feel their energy. And so the insights that you'll have just in conversations with people about what you're experiencing from what you hear them say conceptually and how fast they're talking and how they're saying it and the mood that they present, you'll actually be able to have insights for them. I'm not talking about therapeutic, like doing therapy, although certainly anytime a person who's calm is connected with a person who is who's in the company of a person who's stressed, the stressed person is always going to tend to become less stressed because of the relationship with the person who is calm. Calm trumps stress. And so it's an amazing, it's just amazing. So I won't say any more about that now. And then the last thing, possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead. Well, we talked about it earlier. We believe that the citizens of the United States can pay down the national debt faster and more efficiently than Congress because of the fact that it is the people who are wasting trillions of dollars a year on unnecessary medical expenses. And so we've got a huge opportunity here as a society. And then in addition, we have whatever it is that happens when human beings realize that the underlying nature of reality is not substance and time and space. This was realized by Einstein in 1905. And as we as a society realize that time and space are not the foundations of, or the fundamentals of the world, that actually the fundamentals of the world are consciousness and light. When we come to realize that the fundamentals of the nature of things and relationships and phenomena are consciousness and light, everything changes. Everything changes. And so Qigong teachers are among the people who are going to be in the business of supporting the humans and coming up with practical applications of the E equals MC squared and applying those applications in their lives to be more well and to be more to be less stressed, to be more trusting of the nature of their experience. And wow, I mean, what could be more exciting than that? Okay, Josie, let's wrap it up with a couple more questions, and thank you everybody for your time and your interest, and we're looking forward to seeing you at this next training.
Yeah, okay, so we have time for one more question, and then I did want to make an announcement about our next training coming up September 29th. And so if you're tuning in on the webcast, you will see on screen there's a nice little button you can click there to get a little information on the September 29th training. So let's go to the last question here for the evening. And, this is coming from somebody who is teaching right now. So, Kevin, thank you for the question. All right, so this is about offering free classes. All right, so we just talked about the nature of reality being consciousness. So now, free classes. When you start teaching, or when you started teaching, you offer a free class. The class will be free for a certain amount of time. As a result of this offering, did it benefit your business? How long does it take for this kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, these kinds of questions are among my least favorite, and here's why. Because every person is in a different situation. They're in a different town. They're in a different subculture. They have a different background. They have a different self appraisal. You know, some people are boastful, and it's easy for them to charge more than they're worth. And other people have the opposite problem, which is that they charge less than they're worth. And it's just there's so much diversity in this whole topic. Plus, our relationship with resources is a unique kind of thing. So in other words, it may or may not be that any one person has the same kind of a relationship with resources. And what I mean by that is, what is the destiny of an individual around their wealth capacity or their access to wealth? And some people feel wealthy when they have nothing, and other people feel poor when they have lots. And it's just, you know, so first of all, what I'm doing here is I'm saying, wow, I don't know the answer to this question. Now, the second thing I'll say is that I do know the answer to this question because I've done some of it myself. So I'll answer it that way, and then I'll answer it one more way. I do free things all the time. Now, recently, I had a phone call from someone whose relative, whose wife, basically, was in a very, very severe health situation and was essentially dying. And this person called me and asked me if I would heal his wife over the phone. And, you know, these things can happen. There is the potential for the consciousness and the light that we talked about earlier to be configured in a certain way, which I must admit that I don't understand completely. So when somebody says that to me, I say, yes, of course, I will do what I can. And then the person says, well, how much do I owe you? And I always say nothing, because I don't feel comfortable being in the business of that. That's not the business I'm in. I'm in the business of teaching people to be Tai Chi teachers. And so if I want to do a public service like that, I don't charge for it. Or if the person wants to give a donation, I give it to the Healer Within Foundation, which is a nonprofit that I'm associated with. So I also do classes for free here and there over the years, because it's an opportunity to spread the good word and get the word out and give people access to my personality and my enthusiasm and my chi. But I typically do not do a lot of free classes in a row. My advice to people about starting a business in Qigong is to do free classes as a kind of introduction here and there. So what you would do is you would have the class that you charge for be available wherever it is, and then go to the Toastmasters and the Lions Club and the Legionnaires and the Rotary and the PTA and the Fire Department and the everything. Just go everywhere and give free classes and demonstrations. But they would be one-time opportunities. At the same time, I would suggest that you establish yourself in the context of being available for personal lessons. Because a lot of people don't believe in themselves and they don't have time, but they do have cash and they do have they do have aspirations. So they aspire to get the benefits of Qigong and Tai Chi, but they don't have time to come to a 8-week class or something like that. So use your class as a way to target people who might need what we call private sessions. So what you've got is class. Maybe you charge a pretty minimal amount of money to go to that class. You may have an advanced class, which is more expensive and more focused. Then you might have free presentations that you're doing all over the place, going on the radio, doing internet, you know, all these different, go to the library, everything. Just go around your region to get the people to come to your classes, and then triage the people from your class into either your advanced class or into your private sessions. Now, the last thing to say about free classes is that it's very, very difficult to be a person who's just getting started and moving their way into this. And some people just have a knack of it. There's one of the people who's in our next upcoming level 3 as a photographer, and he retired as a photographer, and he wanted to do something meaningful, got into Qigong and Tai Chi, and his thing has just taken off, and he's got like a little blog that he does, and he's got a calendar on his website, and he's working at these senior centers, and it's just like when he knocked on the door opened. Now, other people knock on the door, and the door doesn't open, and I don't know what the difference is, and these are very, very unique experiences that are based on the nature of our experience and our destiny and what's next for us in life and dues that we may have to pay and, you know, all kinds of things that are really difficult to target. But I would really suggest that you look at the possibility of setting your rate for the time that you believe your hour is worth fairly high, like, $100 or $125, you know, like a really just a top-end golf pro or a top-end tennis pro, and then create an aura around yourself that has to do with that's your value. And then when you go to a corporation and say, you know, I would do a wellness workshop here for you, then charge them $125 or $150. One of the people that we work with charges $250 an hour. And if there's one person in the class, it's $250. So when he goes to a corporation, say, I'll come to your corporation for an hour. If you want to send your executive one person, that the cost for that is $250. If you want to send your 250 secretaries, then that's $250. I've got to have a microphone in a big room, and that's $1 a person. And so there's some real insight there to pricing. Price yourself at the value of an expert in contemporary time. You know, $90 an hour, $125 an hour, $200 an hour, $250 an hour. And then do your classes for lesser cost, you know, $15 a session, $10 a session, just to kind of keep people coming into your purview and move the people who can afford it and who want it into your advanced class and into your private classes. Don't look at your average classes as where you're going to make your income, and do not set yourself up for being the person who has free classes, because if you get famous for having free classes, then why would anybody ever want to, you know, pay? Okay, Josie, thank you so much for your – I mean, if there are any other questions dangling, you can answer them by email or figure out a way to put the answers up on the web with the – recording, and I'll let you make your final statement, and I'll go ahead and make my final statement, which is I am so inspired by the people that we meet at these trainings. And the people that are on the phone now who are potentially going to be joining us in September in Texas, I know because I've had this experience so many times that the magnitude of the people who will be present is incredible, and that the experience that they will all be having, including myself, is incredible, because it always is. And there's meaning and purpose to what we're doing, because the world is moving to a reconfiguration, and Qigong and Tai Chi teachers are going to be a big part of how that happens. And the healthcare system is going to have to collapse and then redefine itself, and Qigong and Tai Chi teachers are a big part of that. So I am thrilled to have been with you here this evening and look forward to meeting you soon. And Josie, thank you so much.
All right. Roger, thank you for all those great insights about teaching, about thinking about teaching, about life in this country. So, yes, final little announcement for the evening. So, first of all, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we want to thank you in a special way tonight by opening up the door for you to perhaps making it a little bit easier in giving you that little nudge of encouragement to think about coming on to the next training. Level 1, happening September 29th, has an early registration discount. And you can have a discount of $200, $250, $300. Tonight, what we're going to do is, for if you're on this call, and this includes listening to the replay and looking at this information here, you will get an additional $50 off your registration. So that's really, really exciting. We pulled a few strings to make this happen. And so think about it. So you don't just save $225, you could save $275. Now the catch is, this is going to be open for a week, and our promo code is going to be available for you if you're signed up for this call, if you're listening tonight, if you're listening to the replay. The promo code is the word IMPACT, and this is what you enter when you check out at checkout time, when you make your selection for housing, lodging. And this is our training that we're having in Wimberley, Texas. Beautiful Wimberley, Texas is hill country in Texas, and it's just beautiful in this time of year. The locale, the venue, is by a beautiful lake that just really opens up, and a lot of people practice by there, by the lake, and it's just really, really gorgeous. So you can see a few pictures of Wimberley if you click on that special link. Let's just sign up for 929 training now. You can take a look at the information and enter the code IMPACT when you check out. All right, so this is also coming to you in email, so no need to remember everything, but you'll have access to the replay for this call tonight, or probably tomorrow morning, and it's the same link that you use to access the webcast. All right, my friends, so I appreciate you very much for being with us tonight, and I wish you well and wish you a really super evening. Thank you so much. Bye now.